Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 123 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her organics today. Yeah, we're going to go all the way with, well, living organically. Before we hop into our podcast, just know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review us. Why? I'm sitting around waiting to hear from you. I love to hear from you. Your feedback is just golden. So come on down after this wonderful podcast. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
So, I know. You've been reading everywhere about basically living organic. It's all about organic out there, especially when it comes to food. Do you have any flipping clue as to what organic really means when it comes to nutrition? Ha! See? Told you. You're confused. So we have a nationally recognized expert. This is Amy Myrtle Miller, who is going to be explaining this. Now, Amy is a wonderful friend and an award-winning dietitian, farmer's daughter, public speaker, author, and founder and president of Farmer's Daughter Consulting. And she consults on agriculture, food, and culinary communications. And over her long 20-year career in nutrition, she's been a consultant to national organizations and has also most recently been working very closely with the Culinary Institute of America. Now, you know what's really great about Amy is that she has a really broad breadth of knowledge about not just nutrition, but also agriculture, which is why it's so important to run to someone like Amy Myrtle Miller to be able to learn, well, what this whole organic thing is about. So, Amy, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Pam, it is my pleasure to be here with you today, and your intro is so stinking funny. Love all the naughty little phrases you use.
Do you like that? Well, listen, I've been practicing these things. You know, I sit around and go, wow, what will really get to Amy today? You know,
oh,
and there it is.
Put a big smile on my face.
Well, there we have it. And so now that I've plastered a smile on your face, let's go to this whole thing about organic. I think a lot of people kind of like eye roll it and go, oh gosh, the organic thing. Is it really true? What does organic mean to you as a registered dietitian and a national expert in nutrition?
Pam, you know, organic is an agricultural production method. Some farmers can choose to grow foods or raise animals organically if they have the right conditions. For example, here in California, we have this that controls for moisture in the air. We have a very dry climate during most of the growing season. Farmers can use drip irrigation to give the organic plants just what they need. And the climate also helps control things like fungus, bugs, other things that destroy crops pretty easily. So, you know, it's a choice that farmers can make on how they grow food. But as a dietitian, is it an indicator of better quality, more nutrients? It's not, and I think a lot of consumers have been misled in this area.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, there's a little bit of fear-mongering out there that if you're not feeding your family organic, you might be making a mistake. I think one of the biggest mistakes people can make is not looking at the overall quality of your diet. Are you making half of each meal fruits and vegetables? Are you getting an abundance of these plant-based foods that are so rich in nutrients from all sources? And when I say all sources, I mean all forms. If you like fresh, that's awesome. If canned is more convenient for you, have at it. If you like frozen, I'm a huge fan of frozen. You get frozen fruits and vegetables, they are picked at the peak of flavor, ripeness, perfection. frozen typically within 2 to 6 hours of harvest, and there's no waste for you, and there's also a lot less work, which with our busy lifestyles, that's a big bonus. So I want people to think more broadly about the quality of their diet and the types of foods that they're choosing. A lot of the marketing messages out there on organic or clean or natural, it's just marketing. It's meant to have you spend money on a certain product. But I want people to think about the overall quality of their diet, what at the store, what they're buying at a farmer's market, what restaurant.
I see. Okay, so, you know, a lot of people ask, is organic production better than any other production method? I mean, is there something else out there, too, that makes it better?
You know, it's not better, it's different. Again, farmers make choices based on their personal beliefs, based on the conditions under which they need to grow food, whether that's weather, the soil that they have. A lot of organic production is centralized in certain areas because you have the distribution for it, the processors that want to work with organic ingredients and whatnot. You know, I think organic production isn't easy. The farmers that do it, kudos to them because there is demand out there. But, you know, it's hard. Keeping ahead of the weeds when you're doing organic production, controlling pests, it's not easy. You often need a lot more labor in organic production, and that drives up some of the cost. So organic's not better. It's just different from other production methods. And if you're wondering, what are the other? There's conventional production. There's some biotech crops out there. There's indoor agriculture now. We have in New Jersey, for example, a company called Arrow Farms that has a 70,000 square foot warehouse where they're growing vegetables without sunlight and without soil. So there's a lot of choices out there that farmers can make, but there's a lot of factors that they need to consider to be successful at growing food for the rest of us.
Huh. So this whole issue of organic then, if people are sitting out there and they're kind of price conscious, right? And they're looking at carrots or, you know, whatever produce or fruit, and they're saying to themselves, well, see now, the organic is more expensive. Am I really getting more out of organic than I am, you know, out of the standard method? What would you say to them?
No, I'd say, you know, again, fill half your cart, half your plate with fruits and vegetables. We need to get people to consume more dairy in this country if they choose to consume animal products. And, you know, if you're price sensitive, pick the things that fit your budget. If you're a mom and you're worried about your kids' health, and let's say your kids love strawberries, buy the strawberries that where the price point fits your budget. There are some fear-mongering campaigns out there. One of them is called the Dirty Dozen, and this is done by a group that monitors pesticide residues on fruits and vegetables. And one of the things that scares a lot of people is when they hear pesticide residue. There are tolerable limits that are set by our Environmental Protection Agency, and these are based on what is safe for people at various ages, genders, body weights to consume over time, with a safety factor of 100. So these are really conservative limits that are allowable on our foods in this country. And, you know, when you hear pesticide residue, you shouldn't be scared. You should be reassured that there are a lot of government bodies involved, a lot of inspections, a lot of testing to ensure that we are blessed with one of the safest food systems in the world.
Oh, okay. You know, because I think a lot of people, you know, I mean, Amy, just listen to everybody out there. They're all freaking out. You know, they're just, they hear the word pesticide and they're running the opposite direction. And really, I think, would you agree, Amy, that it's really an order of magnitude better to be organic? Because nothing's perfect. There's nothing out there that's just pristine clean, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I think people think organic's better because they believe organic production doesn't use pesticides. It's not true. They just use a different class of pesticides. They have to be natural compounds, not synthetically made, but safer. I mean, botulinum toxin is a natural compound. That's not something we want in our food system, Pam.
Yeah, you think? It's interesting. So over time, what have you noticed? And, you know, you have to be right on top of trends, consumer trends especially. What's been going on with consumers with regard to organic foods and beverages? Have things really changed that much recently?
Yeah, there's actually increases. The number of consumers who are seeking organic products when grocery shopping or looking at restaurant menus or seeking out restaurants that offer organic items. And, you know, it's been slightly increasing over time. The people who buy organics most often, they tend to have more education, have more money, no surprise, and are slightly younger than the non-organic buyer. The top categories are produce and dairy. And so, you know, organics is one of those trends in the marketplace that a lot of people are watching, a lot of companies are paying attention to. But there's other data that I've been looking at that looks at overall dietary intake in this country. And since the early 1990s, our diets haven't improved significantly. There's been two major changes that I think are awesome. People are drinking fewer sugar-sweetened beverages. And we have less trans fat in our diets. And that's because of major changes, starting with seed companies, how oils are produced in this country, how products are being made. But we're not, you know, all the marketing on organic, natural, clean, artisan, whatever, it's not having a big impact on our overall diet quality. And I'm worried about that.
Now, when you say you're worried about that, what's your fear here?
Well, that people's diets aren't as nutrient-rich and beneficial as they could be. You know, for example, there's research that shows people who eat the most fruits and vegetables in all forms, whether it's fresh, frozen, canned, dried, or juice, they have the lowest risk of heart disease. So when you have a condition that kills more than 500,000 Americans a year, and my dad died of a sudden heart attack when I was 29 years old, it still breaks my heart to think about it 18 years later. You know, I want to help reduce risk for heart disease in this country. And if simple changes in what you're choosing to eat each day, like eating more fruits and vegetables, can have impact on your risk for the biggest killer in this country, I want to help people make those changes.
I see. Okay. So, you know, I'm glad that the trans fats are down. I'm definitely glad that there's less consumption of sugary beverages. But boy, we got a long way to go. You know, as a dietitian, right? Wouldn't you agree that the grand majority of people are not getting anywhere near the number of fruits and vegetables they need on a daily basis?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. We're not getting enough grains that are whole grains and a little less processed. We're not getting enough dairy. We're getting a lot of sodium, a lot of saturated fat, a lot of added sugars. So there's, you know, there's reasons for this. There are foods out there that are really delicious because the people who work in facilities to create deliciousness do a really great job, and we get used to certain flavors, textures, colors. But, you know, if you really want to have impact on your long-term health and well-being, taking a few steps back, kind of ignoring the marketing and looking more closely at, you know, am I getting enough fruits and vegetables? Am I having some at each meal? If I choose to drink dairy, am I having dairy at each meal? If I'm picking up a loaf of bread at the supermarket, am I getting one made with whole grains? When I'm looking at, you know, what's in the center of my plate, is it a lean cut of is it poultry? Is it seafood? Or is it heavily processed with a lot of added sodium? You know, this takes effort, though. It takes intent. It takes some education. It takes help from a registered dietitian if you can get access to one. And, you know, it takes the empowerment to know that these changes can have impact on how you feel, how you sleep, your future health outcomes. And Pam, I'm glad you're a fellow ad getting all of this. You know, there's also the keys for stress reduction and being physically active. So a lot of advice we can give people to help them out.
Well, I'm also going to do a big push for registered dietitians. Did y'all hear me out there? Registered dietitians. If you really want to make certain you're talking to an expert, you got to go to someone who has had a rich educational experience, internship, licensure, and someone who's got to keep up with their continuing education units to be able to maintain all of this. And this is why I'm a kind of a nutcase for registered dietitians, or RDs, as we say, as Amy is here, because, you know, these are important questions and you need to have a knowledgeable person. And I don't want to break anyone's heart out there, but to become a registered dietitian, boy, do you have to do some studying in biochemistry and chemistry, because this is complex stuff. This isn't just, you know, eat your Cheerios in the morning. Ooh, on second thought, don't do that. But, you know, just sit down and make sure you're getting the right kind of expertise and backup resource when you have these kinds of questions. So that's really important. Tell us, you know, I'm really interested in sharing one thing. You're a farmer's daughter, right? I'm like,
you
a real farmer's daughter. Well, talk to us. Tell us a little history about that.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of five kids. I grew up on a farm in northeast North Dakota, so I get what harsh winters are like. When I was growing up, my dad was leading the farm operation, growing a lot of wheat, barley, corn to feed his cattle. A lot of hayland, and hay is what's fed to the cows when they don't have grass to graze on during the harsh North Dakota winters. And today, my three older brothers have taken over the farm. They now farm about 10,000 acres, and they are supporting their families and contributing to the abundance of food that's produced in this country and also exported to other countries. So I couldn't be prouder that I had that kind of upbringing, that I had opportunities to learn about how food's produced. My mom had a huge garden when I was growing up, and she still has a big garden. And so, you know, I got a lot of skills and information and access that a lot of people don't have anymore. So I feel really blessed, Pam.
But, you know, when we all talk so cavalierly about farm to table, you know, how that's become so cool, my goodness, you lived it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, you were there. You're all over
yeah.
it. I mean, you were farm to table. That's one of the things I love about, you know, whenever we get together, we talk, because I love to hear about that whole farm experience. I think that, you know, think about it, Amy. Who really is a farmer out there? I mean, there's fewer and fewer and fewer people can really talk about having that real homegrown farm experience, because I think it's so incredibly important to understand where food comes from. Hey, it's not a 7-Eleven either, honey. Where food comes from, and to have a full appreciation of cooking, of preparing, of, you know, figuring out where that food comes from. That's why I love when I see organic gardens in urban areas and around, when people are really, you know, trying to have a bit of a farm-like experience, even though they're not in North Dakota, over 10,000 acres. We're really missing that. And I think that that's also contributing to, and tell me if I'm wrong, the fact that so many people are now not cooking, not preparing foods. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, 150 years ago, Pam, 90% of the U.S. population was involved in farming, because if you wanted to eat, you pretty much had to grow your own food. Today, it's less than 2% of the population, and half the people in farming have other jobs because they can't sustain themselves on the income from the farm. So that 1%, which includes my three brothers who farm full-time, that's the only way they make money. They take tremendous risks. They are feeding the rest of us. It's estimated today that every farmer in the U.S. feeds 135 other Americans. So what a blessing.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't have, yeah, isn't that incredible? We don't have to work that hard. We just have to drive to the store and buy it. But somebody else has, you know, put all the effort into it. And, you know, your point about cooking, yeah, I mean, I wish high school still offered home ec. I think that's awesome life skills training, right? Choose foods, prepare it, and having that sense of accomplishment. Is there anything better than when you make something and you taste it and it makes you happy and it makes whoever you're dining with happy? I love that feeling.
Wow. You know, I'm just makes me so sad people aren't cooking, you know, and their idea of cooking is slapping something in the microwave. how are we really going to get them back again?
You know, you mentioned how much you love seeing gardens in urban communities. I applaud all the schools out there that have school garden programs so the kids see what it's like to plant a seed, see it sprout up, and produce something amazing. Kids who get that kind of exposure are more likely to eat the things they're growing, which I think is awesome. It expands their, you know, willingness to try new foods. And for those schools that also integrate some hands-on cooking lessons, that's awesome. But for anybody out there who's curious, you know, about cooking, find a local community college, find a supermarket with a teaching kitchen, find a friend who knows how to make something awesome, and give it a shot, because cooking is more about technique than recipes. If you learn how to saute one food, you can saute anything. If you learn how to boil some pasta, you can boil some eggs for hard-boiled eggs. You know, and you learn a few skills and you start building on it. You watch videos. You show off what you've done to someone who's going to give you a little praise. That's so empowering. I wish I could clone myself and be in the home of everybody out there who wants to learn how to cook.
I love it. I completely love it. You know, I wish people would just fall in love with this whole, you know, completing the circle, finding where the food is, right? How, you know, like I've worked with Alice Waters, you know, obviously the famous restaurateur in Berkeley, California, and her work in putting together the gardens at the Martin Luther King Elementary School and having the kids really do that full circle. They're going to plant the foods, right? And then they're going to harvest them and then cook them. They get a chance to be able to look at the entire full cycle so that they really truly understand where all this is coming from. I mean, it just blows my mind that we've lost that, and I think it's critical. You know, I was binge watching some Star Trek a while back, and you know, it just makes me laugh when I see them in their little their rooms in on the Starship Enterprise, and they walk right over and they say something like, "I want a, you know, apple strudel or something," and then boom, it appears. I mean, talk about being way far away from where you actually cook it all. Oh, my gosh. Let's not go to that place. Let's just keep this a beautiful, amazing experience, really, truly embracing what agriculture is all about. I just find that we're so far removed from it. And it's only been, what did you say, 150 years ago? 90% of us were farming. 90%. Wow, it just sort of blows my mind that we've changed that much that fast, and that if it doesn't come in a wrapper, it's not worth eating. It's just,
you know, I'm glad you mentioned Alice Waters, because I'm thinking about, you know, what people think cooking is. They think it's all this effort and expense, and I don't think I can do it. The best meal I've had the past 20 years was at Alice's Cafe in Berkeley, and it was scrambled eggs on toast with oven-roasted tomatoes with a little bit of Italian seasoning and salt. It was so simple. Anybody could make it. It was so delicious and comforting and so healthful. I'm glad you brought that memory back, Pam. You put another big smile on my face.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, here's a huge smile, honey. You know, I went to Berkeley, as you're well aware, and I have several degrees from there before I went to medical school. I actually was one of the first patrons at her amazing restaurant, Chez Panisse is what it's called. And I remember when the entrees there were not what you pay today, but it's still not through the ceiling. And I just savor the food there and the entire ambiance. I just absolutely love it. What do you think of these groups out there now that actually, you know, Blue Apron and the like, that are sending foods to people for full preparation so that they could still have the cooking experience without having to run out and get all the ingredients? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It gives people a very careful way to food new recipes. A lot of the work has been done for you. That box shows up. Everything's already been measured, prepped. You're just following the instructions to recreate that beautiful, aromatic, flavorful meal. Most of the options from companies like Blue Apron are helpful. They include produce. They're thoughtful about the ingredient selection. I think they're awesome. And I have so many friends out there, including really amazing people with strong culinary skills that love those options because it makes cooking more fun. It's like you get a present and what's in my box now and what am I going to make tonight? So I think it's an awesome option.
What can I say? So there's that. And then there's, what do you think of prepared foods just being delivered to you?
Hey, we've got busy lifestyles. We've got time pressure. If that's what it takes to get a family meal on the table, go for it. You know, one of the biggest benefits of sitting down to a meal is sitting down with someone you love and having a great conversation and blowing off a little stress and laughing and enjoying someone's company. And if a prepared, you know, foods delivery is what does it for you, I'm all for it. But again, you know, I'm also a big proponent for looking at the overall quality of the diet. So sometimes there can be portions larger than you want, too much saturated fat, too much sodium. So, you know, that's my dietitian brain speaking. But my practical, time-pressed, busy professional, do what you need to do to make your life a little easier some days.
Gotcha. I love it. You know, what's really great about talking with you, as it always is, Amy, is you're very practical, incredibly knowledgeable, and compassionate. You know, I mean, hey, we're just human beings. We're trying to do the best we can. Yeah, we don't live on farms anymore. But as close to a farm-like experience as possible. Okay, finally, what about those farmers markets? Ooh, right? They're springing up everywhere. Worth it? Good for you? Locavore is the word we love to use.
Yeah. You know, my hope for this country is that everybody would know a farmer that you could talk to and ask him or her some questions produce. So when I go to a local farmer's market, like gorgeous one in Davis, California, about 20 minutes from my home, I can connect with local growers there. I can talk to them about, you know, the weather and how's the drought been impacting you and what's really great right now. And they can give me a sample of like best peach I'm ever going to try and share with pride what it took to produce that amazing piece of produce. Or I can talk to an artisan cheesemaker and try something I've never had before. I can try a fresh pressed olive oil from a California olive orchard. I think having access to farmers in your community through a farmer's market is really, really lovely.
Oh my gosh, I just so love it. Ooh, I've got the hair just standing up on my arms. I'm so excited. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, one of the things I found, and I think this is a great, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, I thought it was a pretty good industry trend, is that places like Sweetgreens nationally will show you up on a, like a whiteboard, which farms locally they obtained so many of the ingredients for the foods. And so it kind of gave you a sense of pride, like, hey, I'm supporting like 11 different farms here. What do you think of that trend? I mean, do you think that's a real trend? More and more folk can do it? What's up?
You know, it depends on the size of the operation and how you're sourcing. Sweetgreen does an awesome job with that. Certainly it gives a marketing benefit to that farmer, a great relationship with that restaurant. I see a lot more of it in supermarkets around the country where they're, you know, have a picture of the farmer, his or her family, a view of the orchard or the field. And I love seeing that. I love that connection and the sense of community. And anything that provides a benefit to the farmer so that he or she can be more successful, I'm really supportive of. Because, again, farming is a really tough business. And the only way continue to feed the rest of us as if they're financially successful.
Absolutely. You know, I'm just sort of smiling here. You know, just wide smile because I'm talking about some of my most favorite things, food, farms, you know, giving back, completing the circle, but most importantly, I'm talking about them with one of my bestest friends, and that is Amy Myrtle Miller, who is an award-winning dietitian and a farmer's daughter, and also an expert to industry and agriculture. Amy, you've just imparted such wonderful, wonderful information. And I know the people want to know more about what you do, so I'm going to hustle them on over to your website, which is farmersdaughterconsulting.com, farmersdaughterconsulting.com, to learn more about Amy's wonderful work. Amy, thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast and sharing your wit and wisdom.
Pam, my business tagline is inspired by farmers, flavor, and fun, and we hit on all three today. Thanks for the opportunity. I love this chat with you.
Yay, and you're coming back. Tag, you're it. And everyone out there in Herb Podcast land, remember to catch every episode of Herb. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a few seconds now and rate and review this podcast on iTunes, because I want to hear from ya. Yep, that's right. I read these. Love it, love it. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.